We were in 20 last week as well. I wanted to go take a little more time on a certain area there. We looked at how the power of God could help us finish the race well last week. And, the power of God is displayed through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the power of God is there's nothing that compares. There's no one who can thwart His plan. There's no one who can compare to His power. The power of God is able to set people free. He is able to protect us and just continue to deliver us until we finish our race. Where's our race going to get finished? Whenever we pass on from this life into glory with Jesus for all of eternity. Wow, what an awesome thing to look forward to. But what is it? How is it that we're protected while we're still here? And so there's one place where it talks about where Jesus prayed for His disciples and He prayed for those who would come after Him. He's talked about protecting them by His name. And that's such an awesome thing whenever we think about that. The name of Jesus protects us, right? Talking about armor. That's part of our armor, you know. We got the helmet of salvation, right? Can anybody name off the rest of the armor? This isn't part of the sermon. This is an extra bonus. Name off all the parts of the armor. Can anybody tell me? Rachel? Sword of the Spirit. Got the shoes of the readiness of the gospel. Yes, Aiden. Belt of truth. All right. Get real with God. Let's get truthful, right? All right. Breastplate of righteousness, right? Yes. Awesome. Any others? I think we're getting close. Yeah, she had brought up that sword, right? The sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Shield of faith. That's right. I think we got it all, didn't we? All right. Well, Steve already said the shoes, the readiness of the gospel of peace, right? So I think we got it all. So all of those things are really important. And whenever it talks about that in the book of Ephesians, it says that we should put them on. And in the way that the speech works, the way that, I'm not going to try to sound real technical here and make you think I know Greek or anything, but I just understand a little bit about it. And it talks about the way that it's presented to us is that we need to put it on and we need to keep putting it on. It needs to be a continual action that we do constantly. Is there any time that we don't need protection from God? No. So we continually put on the armor of God. And I just want you to know that the armor of God, the whole armor of God, comes from the whole counsel of God. Do I get an amen to that? The whole counsel of God is the whole teachings of God. It's this whole book that I'm holding in my hand right here, and I can tell you, we should never divert from it. We should never think we've had too much of it. We should never think we've figured it all out. We should never think I've read through it once, now I'm done. We should never think that we've ever graduated past this book. This is the one class you'll never graduate from until you go into glory, and even then I think we'll have eternity to be able to see how much more awesome this book is than what we realized while we were here on earth in these earthly bodies. God's Word is enough. In fact, Peter talked about it. He said, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Don't you tell me that as a believer in Jesus Christ that you can't live a victorious Christian life, because I'm going to tell you, God says, yes, you can. Because God gives you everything you need. For one thing, you got to God Himself living in you. And I can tell you, that word's not going to make much sense till that happens. So if you ain't got really given your life to Christ yet, and you're trying to read the Bible and you say, this thing don't make sense to me, then I'll just say, don't quit trying. Get your life right with Jesus. Turn your life over to Him. Let the Holy Spirit move in. And it'll begin to make a whole lot more sense. But I want you to see, now Paul had a real love for the church. Did I get an amen to that? Paul, like, gave his life to help plant the churches and go back to the churches and continue to spread the word, but continue to care for the established churches. He loved the church. Now, the church isn't the building. Okay? Now, this is a church building, but if this building disappeared, hopefully it won't do it with us in it, but if it disappeared tomorrow, we would still have a church. Because the church is really the people of God. We are the church. Okay? And so Paul loved the people of God. He loved them so much that he was willing to continue to feed them even whenever he was persecuted, even whenever he was in prison, no matter what. These letters that we see in the Bible that Paul wrote, these were to the church that he loved. And he's passing through. He's visiting these churches he helped to plant in the book of Acts chapter 20. He's giving them a farewell, some of them, because he's never going to see them again this side of heaven. And so that's where we find him here. So let's look at verses 26 through 32 today. Acts 20, verses 26 through 32. Well, we'll back up one more verse. I always do that. I'm sorry. You probably think, why doesn't he just go ahead and put that verse down? Because it doesn't matter what I start to read in the Bible. And maybe I do this so I can teach you. Okay, I'll make it sound more like I planned it this way. Guys, you always want to look at the context. Whenever you're reading verse whatever, go ahead and read the verse before, because you need to know what surrounds that verse so that you know how to take it. Okay, you need to know how to receive the word. And so in your study, in your daily study, don't just say, well, I'm on chapter, such and such, verse such and such, and that's where I'm going to start. Go ahead and take the time to look a little bit before that. And that's what we're going to do here. Verse 25, and indeed I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. So you got to have that in the context. Like Paul knows, he makes this journey to Jerusalem, he ain't coming back. And he's going to do it anyways because he believes it's God's will. So now these are his last words. If you knew it was the end of your life and you have one last chance to talk to your loved ones, how important would those last words be to you? Would you choose them carefully? Would you try to make sure that they were the thing that was really going to sustain them in the future? Protect them? Guide them, know them, that help them to be comforted and know, okay, that you love them and that they're going to be okay. Absolutely. That's what I'd be looking for, the perfect words. That's what I think these words are we're going to read today. Starting at verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Oh, that we can say that before we go to meet with Jesus. That's what I'm shooting for. Shoot for that. That we can actually say, I've done everything I can to share with every person that I come in contact with. That's a big call. But listen to what he says. I'm innocent of the blood of all men, and this is why he feels this way. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest problems in the church today across the United States is that the whole counsel of God is not getting shared. Now, folks, I want you to know, if you walk into this church by the end of this service, I want you to have a good idea of how you too can be saved, just in case you're not. I want you to be able to know that to be saved means to be saved from the wrath of God being poured out on sin, because Jesus already put himself on the cross to take our punishment. That him being perfect was different than our death because he could do it as a substitute for you because he didn't deserve to die. I want you to know that if you will confess your sins to Jesus Christ, that means agree with him that you have sin in your life and you know it's wrong and it's enough to separate you from him forever. If you will confess that, if you will admit that to him and then repent of it, turn away, say, God, I want to go the other way. Now, that don't mean you're going to be able to be perfect at that moment, but it means you're willing to forsake your sin to receive him. Then you turn your life over to Christ and ask him to be your Lord. That means boss, because you believe he rose again on the third day, that he's in heaven right now. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Then you too shall be saved. May you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth. May you then follow him the rest of your days, and you have nothing to worry about in eternal judgment. I want you to know that. But I can tell you, once you know that, you need more. Not to be saved, but to live it. Okay, I got saved. Way back when, it's probably been about 21 years ago, I didn't mark the date. But here's the deal. Next day, I knew something. If I just agreed to follow Jesus, I need to know where he's going. And I'm going to tell you, the whole counsel of God shows you God's heart, God's direction for your life. And so I am committed as your pastor to do everything I can to teach it every time I stand before you, to not just cut out the hard and uncomfortable parts. I can tell you, sometimes I look at it and I think, ooh, that one's probably not going to go over so well, because it makes me feel uncomfortable, and I know it's going to make other people feel uncomfortable. But here's the deal, guys. If I cutted that part out, I would be lying to you. And if I did that, could I really say I love you? I love you, and I see you're about to fall off a cliff, but I'm not going to say anything, because, hey, that's none of my business. That would be wrong. And that's what the world's doing right now. That's what the church in America is doing right now. We're going along with garbage that God says is an abomination, and we're just kind of acting like it's nothing, because we don't want to offend anybody. Hey, guys, this is the Word of God. I can tell you I'm not going to apologize for it today. I'm going to bring it to you straight. I'm going to encourage you with it. It should be an encouragement to us. And if it's not, it may be because you're not right with God yet. You need to get right with God, and so it reveals something. So let's just follow God today. And as we look at this, let's see what Paul said in verse 27 to be our calling today. If you want to be innocent of the blood of all men from this point on, then you just be willing to declare the whole counsel of God to those who you know you have opportunity to do. Don't hold it back. Guys, all these social issues we deal with and all this stuff, I'm going to tell you, Word of God has something to say about it. You know, gender issues, we go, man, what's wrong with the world? I'll tell you what's wrong with the world. We have turned our back on the Word of God. Word of God says He made them male and female. Period. Period. Not interchangeable. Not 30. Binary, it's two. And you'd be called a hater for that? Stand on it. God says marriage is one man, one woman. And here I'm going to get controversial. For a lifetime. That was His intention. And we live in a sinful world, and sometimes we fall short of that. What do? We repent. We say that's sin. That God says this, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability. Praise God. Help us, Lord, to be able to carry it out from this day forward. Let's stop looking back. God forgives, but let's go forward. People come out of all kinds of lifestyles. They're forgiven. Let's go forward, but let's call it what it is. That's how we can stand innocent of the blood of all men, is by declaring the whole counsel of God. We can go on down the line. You know, sorcery in the Bible? That's drug use. You know, gluttony? That's overeating. It really is, and it's a sin. He's not okay with it. Don't look at anybody else in the room either. Don't look at me. We need to all just look at ourselves whenever we read these lists. And we need to call it what it is. Okay? Pornography. That's sexual immorality. How much of it do you see in life forms on TV every day? I mean, like, seriously. We need to get real about these things. We need to talk about these things. You know? I mean, like marital fidelity, that means not entertaining the thought of anybody else, and even in your thought life. If you do it, repent. Let's move on. Let's go toward God. But see, all these things we find in the whole counsel of God, that's what Paul was preaching to them. The whole counsel. The whole deal. He didn't cut parts out. So he goes on to say in verse 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Guys, if you love Jesus, you got to love His church. Because that's the bride He died for. He loves them. If we say we love Him, we got to say we love His bride too. If you tell me you love me, but you don't like my wife, I'm just going to tell you, we ain't going very far. Because, like, that woman's one with me. If you love me, then you got to love my wife. You may have to learn how to, or you may not like her at first. I don't know how that all works. I don't know how you couldn't, because she's wonderful. But same way with Jesus. We can't go up and say, Jesus, I love you, but I don't love your bride. He's going to say, really? You know, we really need to hear this. You see, whenever we're thinking about ourselves in this deal, we need to think about the whole flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. How valuable is the church to Him? He paid for us with His life. Guys, it's amazing what He's done. He says, For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You hear that? The whole counsel of God. I believe that's what he's talking about. And he said, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray you teach us through this word we've read today that you wrote to us so many times, so many years ago, but it's still just as valid to us today, Lord. Your word is never ending. Your word will never be destroyed. Your word will never end. And so, Lord, we look to you today to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we read from this is that the whole counsel of God has power. Amen? It's got power to do certain things. So just follow along on your paper there. It's got power to prepare. It also has power to protect. It has the power to provide for, and it has the power to proceed forward. We're going to see all of these different ones as we go through this. Apparently, I've forgotten to put the PowerPoint back there with them, so you may just have to follow me on paper. Having trouble with the computer today? Wasn't on the zip drive. My bad. It's a good thing we got a hard copy today. So, anyway, we're going to keep rolling on, though. Number one, let's break this down just a little bit. The power to prepare the church of God. Guys, that's exactly what he's saying in verses 26 and 27. He's innocent of the blood of all men because he's not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to them. And so this is a big deal. He's saying, I can go with this being our last meeting, commending you to God and being okay with it. I know that there's savage wolves that are going to come in and try to destroy all of you, but I can feel okay about it because you got what you need to be prepared. I know I'm kind of stretching this out a little bit, but I believe this is what he's saying. He's saying, you got what you need because I've given you the Word of God. And not just a little bit of it. You see, he stayed in this town longer than any of the others. He taught in Ephesus for years. He made sure they had what they were going to need to not be taken away by false teachers and false teachings. Are there any false teachers out there, church? There's a lot. In fact, they get a lot of limelight an awful lot of the time. They can have big followings. They can have a whole lot of people in their church building. But if it don't line up with the Word of God, you know what it is? It's false. And if they won't repent of it, then that makes them a false teacher. That's one thing just to be wrong about something. Everybody gets something wrong every now and then. But whenever the essentials of the Christian doctrine are being maligned and crushed, and they won't repent when they're confronted, then they're a false teacher, and we need to stay away from them. That's the long and short of it. How are you going to know? I feel confident that you could know sitting under the teaching of this church because you've heard it right, so you'll be able to tell when it's wrong. You read it right. I get to preach to you once or twice or maybe even three times a week if you come to all three services. That still ain't enough. You need to learn to read this thing on your own. And here's my idea. Whenever you come on Sunday morning, I want to give you just enough to inform you of some things but make you hungry for more. I want you to go home and to get pick this thing up. See, the problem in America is most of us have got this thing sitting over here closed. I'm going to mark my place. We're going to go back to that later, but we're over here flipping the channels. And we're saying, boy, I'd read that thing if I had time. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. I read the entire chapter 34 of Psalms to the boys out loud at church camp. And it took me exactly 1 minute and 53 seconds to do it. If you tell me you don't have enough time to read a chapter of the Word of God, then I say you're not allocating your time very well. You need to be putting the Word of God into you every day. In fact, you desperately need to so that you can be prepared for the things that you're going to encounter. You see, the devil's sending out his forces every day. He never rests. And he's trying to intersect us. He's trying to deceive us. But you see, if we've got the right thing in us, we're going to be able to pick it out and pick it off before it ever gets us. We really need to be prepared. And it is the whole counsel of God that prepares the church. How important is the church? Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." How important is the church? I'd say Jesus says you're pretty important. Very important. So I'm going to ask you a quick question. Would y'all say that you love Jesus? I do too. I love Jesus because He first loved me too. That's biblical. He sought me out. But if you say you love Jesus, that's the question He asked Peter. Back in John chapter 21, I kind of brought this up a little bit last week, but I wanted to actually have it in writing for you to see with your own eyes. Because you see, words taken in through the eyes are powerful. But you see, He asked Peter a question. He said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" After he'd fed him breakfast and he was there with his disciples and all this. And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." This is a portrayal of Jesus, God reinstating Peter after his three denials of Jesus. He asked him three times. And every time he alludes to the fact, "If you love me, then you take care of my church. If you love me, you feed my church. You tend my lambs. You tend my sheep. You feed my lambs. You feed my sheep," is the idea we get here. So if you say you love Jesus, you got to love the church, and you need to be a part of helping the church grow. Okay? What does that mean for the church to grow? It may mean more people sitting in the pews. That's cool. We're all happy whenever that happens because more people are being taught the Word of God. What it really mostly means is growing in our relationship with Christ every day, being discipled. If you love Jesus, be a part of discipling. Being discipled yourself and discipling others. It is our call if we love Jesus. Second point. So we have the power to prepare the church. We also have, in the whole counsel of God, the power to protect the church. Guys, this is the way the power of God is released. You see, a lot of people are saying, "I know God's powerful, but I never see His power." I'm going to tell you, if you're in the Word of God, then you're being prepared. You're seeing His power preparing you. Now you're going to be seeing His power protecting you. How many of you believe the Word of God can protect you as a Christian? Oh man, it is so huge. We really need to understand how huge it is. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 30, He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you." Where do they come from? Satan. Satan fools people and sends them out. And they're under his spiritual connection. And they don't want to spare the flock at all. In fact, he says also, "From among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." But he says he's confident they're okay because they've got the Word of God. They've got the whole counsel. Third thing we see there, so God's Word has the power to prepare us, first, the power to protect us, second, and it also has the power to provide for us, the power to provide for the church. He goes on, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's huge. You see, if you're feeding on the Word of God, even if this church loses pastor and changes pastors, changes teachers, has different things happen to it, you're going to continue on. Because the Word of God needs to be your guide, and if it is, you'll continue on. You'll continue to feed the flock. You'll continue to do the things that need to happen. It provides for us. It's the sustenance and the grace that we need. The fourth thing, it also has the power for the church to proceed forward. You see, Paul knew that if the church knew the word of and the will of God. You want to know the will of God? You get in the Word of God. You'll find out the will of God. And if you know those two things, you're going to clearly be able to recognize false teachers, false teachings, and endure anything. And here's the deal, guys. He wasn't just lackadaisical about this. He wasn't just, apathetic, like so often we see nowadays. Paul was absolutely passionate about this. The whole counsel of God was what gave him the passion to want everyone else to have it as well. The more you learn from the Word of God, you know what? The more passion you're going to have to try to give it to others. Do I get an amen on that? How many teachers do I have in the room here? How many people here teach or have taught the Word of God? Raise your hand. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, maybe I'll ask you, before you taught your lesson, did you study your lesson? Yeah? Okay, for those who nodded yes, then I'm also going to ask you, did you get more out of the lesson that you were going to teach? You see, the more you're in the Word of God, the more passionate you'll be about giving the Word of God. I can tell you, I had no clue. I was sitting in a Sunday school room with a bunch of youth because some of my kids were in there, and I thought, well, I could be a little help to the youth directors of this church that I was in. And they said, they've been announcing for a few weeks they were going to be gone, they were going to be gone, they were going to be gone. And I thought, I wonder what we're going to do while they're gone. And they turned around, they looked at me, and they said, you've been coming for a while, and we can tell you read the Bible, so why don't you do the class? We're going to be gone 2 weeks from now. I want you to do the class. And I thought, that sounds stupid, but I guess I'll give it a try. I don't really think I'd be able to teach it, but whatever. I'll give it a shot. I guess it couldn't be like a total disaster. And first week went by, and if I didn't think that much of it, kind of read over the scripture I was going to be teaching, no big deal. That next week came up, and it was going to be later, Man, I started stressing over this thing. I started worrying. I started sweating whenever I thought about it, because this is the Word of God I'm going to be teaching. It scared me to death. You know what I was teaching on? I can still tell you today. This has been a lot of years ago. I was going to be teaching on whenever Noah got off the ark at God's command. Okay, what was the sign of his promise whenever he got off? Can anybody tell me? Rainbow, right? Rainbow. I got up that morning, and I was scared to death on that Sunday morning. I woke up really early, and that's pretty unusual. I don't do that unless I have to. I woke up really early, really feeling stressed out, and there was these big old storm clouds outside, and I thought, perfect, because that's how I'm feeling. And I went, and I looked out the window a little bit later on, and there was the most beautiful rainbow in the sky. You know what God told me in that? He said, I'm going to be with you. You're going to do this because you've studied and my spirit is here. And I can tell you, I went and taught that class, and I don't even know how I got through it. It had to be a miracle of God. But God taught me something that day. I had never studied like that before in my life. And I had a passion to give what I'd found. Paul expressed what he had with such a persistence and a passion. Look at what it says in Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's the kind of passion we need to have for the Word of God and to help give the whole counsel of God to others. Do you think that'd change America if our churches really were like that? Let it start here. Even if no other church in America does it, let it be done here. And I think other churches in America are doing it. I think they're getting more and more concerned about the whole counsel of God and not just these little snippets. Here's my question for you today. I wish it could be up on that, but I messed up. It's in front of you. Are you prepared to recognize false teachings, and will you persevere through persecution? Because I think it's coming. We already see it. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I think we're going to see a revival in our nation, but I think it's going to stir up the enemy, and I think we're going to see a little more persecution in our nation. And I think we're going to see a greater outpouring of the attempt from Satan to try to trip up the church? Are you ready? Are you prepared to recognize false teachings? And will you persevere through persecution? And I'll give you the answer of how. You need to take in the whole counsel of God and share it with others daily. I don't know how you're going to share it with others, and you might say, I don't see that many people, but you need to be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And the way we do that is by being in the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, taking it in every day. Read through the whole Bible. I would even say try to read through the Bible every year. Maybe you don't get everything on schedule. Maybe it takes you 2 years. But try to read through the Bible on a regular basis. And try to focus in on the areas that God's really speaking to you and do further study in those. It needs to be our life. It really does. You say, well, I work and I do this and I know. But look at the things that aren't building you up spiritually that are extra things and cut some of that out so you got time. Let the Word of God fill up those areas of fluff in your life because I'm telling you, it matters. I thought, God, that'd be really cool if you just made me cry and plead with them today because I really feel it in my heart. I want you to be protected. If I never had another chance to preach to you, I would want you to know that you could continue on in the faith and that this church will continue on. You say, that sounds so foolish and dramatic, but I can tell you so many years ago, the pastor of this church died, and the church died. That's why it had to be restarted. You know how you prepare to do the ministry of the church? You need to be in the whole counsel of God, and you need to be getting involved now so that if something happens to leaders of this church and we just drop dead one day, this church won't stop. This community is still going to need a witness, and it's through you. The whole counsel of God, I can't overstate it. It would be impossible. But what I will do is I'm going to offer you an opportunity to come to the altar and pray that God would help you. Help you have more of a desire. Help you to continue to grow in Him. Help you to take the steps necessary to be able at the end of your race to say, I'm innocent of the blood of all men because I did not shun to declare to you the entire Word of God, the whole counsel of God. It's my aim as a dad. It's my aim as a husband. That's my aim as a pastor. That's my aim as a citizen of the United States. I really believe Jesus is the answer. And the Word of God is where we're going to find it. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I think that this is such an important message to us today. You're speaking to us and you're saying it matters. The whole counsel of God matters. Lord, help us to see that the whole counsel of God is poured out through services. Not just one of the services each week, but all three of the services have different aspects of that happening here in this church. Through the Sunday schools, help us not to want to miss opportunities because we'll only have one opportunity to hear it put that way. But also through our daily reading of God's Word, that it's there, it's in our home. No one prohibits us or prevents us from doing it. So Lord, please don't let us have other things in our life preventing us from doing it. Whatever we got to do, let's make sure we're taking in the whole counsel of God. Lord, I pray that you would bless us. If we haven't taken that first step to salvation today, let it be the day that we would repent of our sin and say, Jesus, be my Lord. And then we need to go public with it. There's no such thing as secret believers. It says, if we confess with our mouths, Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts, God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For one believes, right, unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. And so, Lord, please bless us today. Whatever we need to commit to you, this altar is open. Help us to bring it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.